to the development of intelligence. Others believe the driftings of the continents may have produced at least some of the Earth's various extinction events. In November of 2002, Tony Dixon of Cambridge University in England produced a report published in the journal Science strongly suggesting that there may well be a relationship between the history of rocks and the history of life. What Dixon established was that the chemical composition of the world's oceans has altered abruptly and vigorously throughout the past half billion years, and that these changes often correlate with important events in biological history. The huge outburst of tiny organisms that created the chalk cliffs of England's south coast, the sudden fashion for shells among marine organisms during the Cambrian period, and so on. No one can say what causes the ocean's chemistry to change so dramatically from time to time, but the opening and shutting of ocean ridges would be an obvious possible culprit. At all events, plate tectonics not only explained the surface dynamics of the Earth, how an ancient Hipparion got from France to Florida, for example, but also many of its internal actions. Earthquakes, the formation of island chains, the carbon cycle, the locations of mountains, the coming of ice ages, the origins of life itself, there was hardly a matter that wasn't directly influenced by this remarkable new theory. Geologists, as McPhee has noted, found themselves in the giddying position that the whole Earth suddenly made sense. But only up to a point. The distribution of continents in former times is much less neatly resolved than most people outside geophysics think. Although textbooks give confident-looking representations of ancient land masses with names like Laurasia, Gondwana, Rodinia, and Pangaea, these are sometimes based on conclusions that don't altogether hold up. As George Gaylord Simpson observes in Fossils and the History of Life, species of plants and animals from the ancient world have a habit of appearing inconveniently where they shouldn't and failing to be where they ought. The outline of Gondwana, a once mighty continent connecting Australia, Africa, Antarctica, and South America, was based in large part on the distribution of a genus of ancient tongue fern called Glossopteris, which was found in all the right places. However, much later, Glossopteris was also discovered in parts of the world that had no known connection to Gondwana. This troubling discrepancy was, and continues to be, mostly ignored. Similarly, a Triassic reptile called Lystrosaurus has been found from Antarctica all the way to Asia, supporting the idea of a former connection between those continents, but it has never turned up in South America or Australia, which are believed to have been part of the same continent at the same time. There are also many surface features that tectonics can't explain. Take Denver. It is, as everyone knows, a mile high, but that rise is comparatively recent. When dinosaurs roamed the Earth, Denver was part of an ocean bottom, many thousands of feet lower. Yet the rocks on which Denver sits are not fractured or deformed in the way they would be if Denver had been pushed up by colliding plates. And anyway, Denver was too far from the plate edges to be susceptible to their actions. It would be as if you pushed against the edge of a rug, hoping to raise a ruck at the opposite end. Mysteriously, and over millions of years, it appears that Denver has been rising, like baking bread. So too has much of southern Africa. A portion of it, 1,000 miles across, has risen nearly a mile in 100 million years, without any known associated tectonic activity. Australia, meanwhile, has been tilting and sinking. Over the past 100 million years, as it has drifted north toward Asia, its leading edge has sunk by some 600 feet. It appears that Indonesia is very slowly drowning and dragging Australia down with it. Nothing in the theories of tectonics can explain any of this. Alfred Wegener never lived to see his ideas vindicated. On an expedition to Greenland in 1930, he set out alone on his 50th birthday to check out a supply drop. He never returned. He was found a few days later, frozen to death on the ice. He was buried on the spot and lies there yet, but about a yard closer to North America than on the day he died. Einstein also failed to live long enough to see that he had backed the wrong horse. In fact, he died at Princeton, New Jersey, in 1955, before Charles Hapgood's rubbishing of continental drift theories was even published. The other principal player in the emergence of tectonics theory, Harry Hess, was also at Princeton at the time and would spend the rest of his career there. One of his students was a bright young fellow named Walter Alvarez, who would eventually change the world of science in a quite different way. As for geology itself, its cataclysms had only just begun, and it was young Alvarez who helped to start the process. Part 4. Dangerous Planet. The history of any one part of the Earth, like the life of a soldier, consists of long periods of boredom and short periods of terror. British geologist Derek V. Ager. 13. Bang. People knew for a long time that there was something odd about the Earth beneath Manson, Iowa. In 1912, a man drilling a well for the town water supply reported bringing up a lot of strangely deformed rock, a crystalline clast breccia with a melt matrix and overturned ejector flap, as it was later described in an official report. The water was odd, too. It was almost as soft as rainwater. Naturally occurring soft water had never been found in Iowa before. Though Manson's strange rocks and silken waters were matters of curiosity, 41 years would pass before a team from the University of Iowa got around to making a trip to the community. Then, as now, a town of about 2,000 people in the northwest part of the state. In 1953, after sinking a series of experimental bores, university geologists agreed that the site was indeed anomalous and attributed the deformed rocks to some ancient, unspecified volcanic action. This was in keeping with the wisdom of the day, but it was also about as wrong as a geological conclusion can get. But trauma to Manson's geology had come not from within the Earth, but from at least 100 million miles beyond. Sometime in the very ancient past, when Manson stood on the edge of a shallow sea, a rock about a mile and a half across, weighing 10